Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Balaram Avirbhav Tithi Mahotsav Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi. So we have this kavacha, which is a prayer to Lord Balaram, taken from the Garga Samhita. This was originally, this mantra was given to the Braja Gopis. And in this particular recitation of the prayer, it was spoken by Pradvipaka Muni, spoke this to Duryodhan. So there are some particulars about, some niyam or rules about how to chant the prayer. At any rate, if you're following rules and regulations, you can follow those rules. And if you're not, you can sit here in Vrindavan in front of Krishna Balaram and we can chant this prayer together. And if you're still attached to the rules and regulations, in your mind you can imagine, yes, I'm sitting on a mat of kusa grass. Yes, I've abandoned my silk sari for a cotton sari, because you're supposed to wear cotton. Or the silk dhotis for a cotton dhoti. I like that. But the main point is we should meditate on the Ishtadeva, the mantra, who is kindly appearing before us with his younger brother. So with fixed intelligence, we should meditate on Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, while chanting this kavacha, and this applies at all times. Golokadamari pati pareshwara pareshamam patu pavitra kirtana bhumandalam sarsha pavad vilakshite yanmurni mam patu sabumi mandale senasumam rakshatu sirapan here Yude sada rakshatu mam halicha Durgesha chavyan mushali sada mam Vanesha sankarshana adi devaha Kalindaja vega haro jaleshu Nilambaro rakshatu mam sadagno Vayocharamo vatuke balascha Maharnave nanta vapu sada mam Shivasudevo vattu parvateshu Sahasra Shirsha Cha Mahavivade Rogeshamam Rakshatu Rohineyo Mamkama Palo Vatuvapi Vatsu Kamatsada Rakshatu Denukarhi Krodatsada Mandrivida Prahari Lobatsada Rakshatu Bhavalarir Mohatsada Mamkila Magadari Prataksada Rakshatu Brishni Durya Prane sadamam matura purendra Madhyaninde ne gopasakka prapato Saurat parane vatumam sadeva Sayam panindro vatumam sadeva Parat paro rakshatumam pradoshe Purne nishite cha duranta virya Pratyushakale vatumam sadeva Vidikshumam rakshatu revati patir Dikshu pralambarir ado yaduvaha Ordvam sada mam balabhadrarat Tada samantad baladeve vahi Antak sada vyat purushottamo bahir Nagendra lilo vatumam mahabala Sarantaratma chavasanhari swayam prapatu purna parameshwaro mahan devasuranam bayanashanam cha hutashanam papa chayena danam vinashanam vigna gatasya vidhi sadasanam varma varambalasya Shri Vallabhadra Stotra Kavacha Ki Jai, Shri Garga Samhita Ki Jai, Shri Garga Muni Ki Jai, Shri Baladeva Premananda Ki Jai. Please know that this Kavacha, Lord Balaram, is the best of protections or armors. It destroys the fears of the demigods and demons. It is a blazing fire that burns up the fuel of a host of sins. It spells death to a host of obstacles. It is the abode of spiritual perfection and spiritual strength. Siddha Asanam Balasya. I'll read the translation. Verse 1. May Lord Balaram, the master of Goloka, the supreme controller of all controllers, who is always glorified by pure kirtan, pavitra kirtan, protect me. May Lord Balaram, appearing as Anantashesh, who on his head holds the earth as if it were a single mustard seed, protect me on the earth. May Lord Balaram protect me when I am surrounded by many armies. May Lord Balaram, who holds a plow, always protect me in battle. May Lord Balaram, who holds a club, always protect me in the fortress. O Sankarshan, please protect me in the forest. May Lord Balaram, who wears blue garments and who stopped the Yamuna, always protect me in the water. May Lord Ram protect me in the wind. May Lord Balaram protect me in the sky. May Lord Balaram, who is Lord Ananta himself, always protect me in the great ocean. May Lord Balaram, who is Vasudeva's son, protect me in the mountains. May Lord Balaram, who has 1,000 heads, protect me in times of war. May Lord Balaram Rohini Nandan protect me from diseases. May Lord Balaram Kamapala, who fulfills desires, protect me from catastrophes. May Lord Balaram, who is known as Denukari, for killing the demon Denukasura, always protect me from lust. May Lord Balaram, who killed Dvivida, always protect me from anger. May Lord Balaram, who is the enemy of Balavala, always protect me from greed. May Lord Balaram Magadhari, the enemy of Jarasand, always protect me from illusion. May Lord Balaram Vrishni Durya, best of the Vrishnis, always protect me at sunrise. May Lord Balaram Mathura Purendra, the king of Mathura city, kindly protect me in the morning. May Lord Balaram Gopasaka, the friend of the Gopas, always protect me at midday. May Lord Balaram, who is completely independent, always protect me in the afternoon. May Lord Balaram Fanindro, the king of serpents, always protect me at sunset. May Lord Balaram, who is greater than the greatest, always protect me in the evening. May Lord Balaram, whose power is invincible, always protect me in the middle of the night. May Lord Balaram always protect me at every sunrise. May Lord Balaram Revati Pati, husband of Revati, protect me from the four intermediate directions. May Lord Balaram Pralambari, the enemy of Pralamba, protect me from the four directions, or the primary or cardinal directions. May Lord Balaram, the best of the Yadavas, protect me from below. May Lord Balabhadra always protect me from above. May Lord Baladev always protect me here, there, and everywhere. May Lord Balaram, Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always protect me from within. May the supremely powerful Lord Balaram, Nagendra, who enjoys as the King of Serpents, protect me from without. May Lord Balaram, Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul residing in everyone's heart, always protect me. We can't help but thinking of Lord Balaram. In one of his expansions, he serves Krishna by becoming a banyan leaf. He becomes a banyan leaf, and then Krishna lies in the banyan leaf, something like this. Here's an exhibit here. Exhibit A, Krishna lies in the banyan leaf. So I'm seeing this boy, it reminds me of Balaram's expansions. Balaram becomes the banyan leaf, and then Krishna floats in the waters of devastation. So he's reminding us of Balaram's pastimes. Krishna's Kaviraj explains in the Adi Lila chapter 5 something about the transcendental identity of Sri Baladev. So we can read some verses in glorification of Lord Balaram. Adi Lila chapter 5, text 4. Sarvavatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Dvitiya Deha Srihi Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations, Sarva Avatari. Lord Balaram is his second body. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swamsha, and forms that have limited potency, the living entities, are called Vibhinamsha. Text 5. Ekahi sarupadonhe vinamatrakai adyakaya vyuha krishna lilarasahai. Krishna and Balaram are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Purport. Balaram is a Swamsha expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. Krishna is blue, Balaram is white. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, Chaturvyuha, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. So that these verses give some idea of the identity of Lord Balaram. He's non-different from Krishna. So Krishna, he has his Swarup Shakti, or his Vishuddha Sattva, his Chit Shakti, spiritual energy, but it expresses in three different, it has three pravavs or influences. There's Sandini Shakti, existence, Ladini Shakti, and Samvit Shakti. Krishna has these. Balaram also has these. Balaram has Sandini Shakti, he has Samvit Shakti, and he has Ladini Shakti. But when these Shaktis personify, coming from Krishna, when they take personal form, the Sandini Shakti is personified as Lord Balaram, the Ladini Shakti is personified as Srimati Radharani, and the Chit Shakti is personified as Krishna, or the, you say, the Samvit Shakti. So these, the next verses, they explain the expansions, different expansions of Krishna and Balaram. Text 8. Sri Balarama Gosai Mula Sankarshan Panchrupadhari Karen Krishnera Sevan. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. So those five other forms, this original Sankarshan from Chaturvyuha, he expands into Mahasankarshan. Then Mahasankarshan expands into Mahavishnu, then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Anantashesh. So these are five forms or five expanded forms of Lord Balaram by which he serves Krishna. In the form of Anantashesh, in that form, Lord Balaram, Anantashesh transforms into so many other unlimited forms to serve and assist Krishna in his comforts. One thing is he holds up the whole material universe like a mustard seed on his head. Because the function of Sandini Shakti, which is one of Balaram's Shaktis, in which he is the primary, you can say, purveyor of that Shakti and a servitor of that, he serves Krishna with that Shakti, Sandini Shakti. But Sandini Shakti, the purpose of Sandini Shakti is manifestation, is to manifest or make things exist. So Balaram with his Sandini Shakti which is, of course, expanded from Krishna. But Balaram, he serves Krishna by making things manifest. He manifests the name of Krishna. Balaram manifests the name of Krishna. Balaram manifests the form of Krishna. And the form of the holy Dham, the lotus of Goloka, he manifests. And he manifests the qualities of Krishna. And then when Balaram takes his Sandini Shakti, and combines it with his own Ladini Shakti, then he manifests varieties of Madhurya Leelas, or intimate pastimes for the pleasure of Krishna, and ultimately Radharani, because she's also pleased. So these five forms that are mentioned here are basically acting in the material world, or in the material world when Krishna comes here, Balaram provides the holy Dham. So Ananta Shesh, he expands himself to become the mandir, or the place of worship. The mandir, or place of worship for Krishna, is also Balaram. The house of Krishna is also Balaram. The bed that Krishna sleeps on is Balaram, or you can say Balaram, or his form expanded as Ananta Shesh. The pillow that Krishna lies his beautiful head on is also Balaram. Sometimes Balaram, in his own form, he lies down and he offers his thigh. His leg becomes a very soft pillow for Krishna, and when they're having their coward pastimes at Govardhan. But other times, in other places, in other realms, in Vaikuntha and other realms, then Balaram also becomes a pillow, but he becomes more of what we, not as his personal form, but as a pillow. That's also him. He becomes the sacred thread of Krishna, that is also Balaram. He becomes his slippers, because in Vaikuntha, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, he wears, of course, Lord Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka, he wears golden slippers, but here he walks barefoot. So Balaram, he becomes his slippers, he becomes the clothing of Krishna. That's why we take so much care for Krishna's clothing. We make whole arrangements, very nice closets and plastic bags to preserve them, and because the clothing of Krishna is Balaram. So you can see in these different expansions of Lord Balaram how he serves Krishna. And this prayer, we were praying in this prayer, this kavacha, "Oh Lord Balaram, please protect me from above, from below, from the front, from the back, from the sides, from inside, from outside, from north, northeast, south, west, in all directions." So we're asking for protection from Balaram in this prayer. Of course, that's automatic for the devotee. He's automatically protected. But you can see a similar in the services of Balaram. He wants to serve Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna from below, from above, from the front, from the back, from the inside, from the outside. He wants to caress Krishna's body in the form of a yajna, upavata, that's a Brahmin thread. He wants to hold on to Krishna's feet by becoming Krishna's slippers. He wants to embrace the whole body of Krishna by becoming Krishna's clothing. He becomes Krishna's crown. He wants to sit on Krishna's head. He wants to be... So in all ways, Balaram is serving in all these different forms. So this is indicated here in this verse. Now, it's very interesting. We're discussing the different expansions of Lord Balaram. So this same Sandini Shakti, which he is, basically we think of Balaram as the controller, and he's serving the Lord with his manipulation and usage of the Sandini Shakti. So it's explained that when Sandini Shakti exhibits its material function, then the whole material world is created by Balaram's expansions as the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, etc. But when the Sandini Shakti exhibits its spiritual function, then the whole Goloka lotus is produced. So Balaram, he's actually making everything happen. If we want to realize that the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna, then we have to get the mercy of Balaram. Because in these kavacha, we're reading in this kavacha about the different demons that were killed by Lord Balaram. So there's one demon that explains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what this demon represents. This is Dainukasura. Dainukasura, the ass demon. And Dainukasura and Pralamba were two very powerful demons. Pralamba represents lust and desire. Basically, Pralamba represents the anartha of Kamani Kanak Pratishta, desire for enjoyment. with man-woman enjoyment, lusty desires, and the desire for a position and honor and gain, material gain and greed and money. This is Pralamba. And then Dainakasura, in relation to what we're discussing, Dainakasura, he represents a variety of tasty anarthas or a variety of obstacles, and explained in Chaitanya Shikshamrita and other places by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he represents the bad mentality which carries heavy loads. In other words, an ass, Dainuka, is the ass demon. So the jackass, or the ass, is considered to be a very foolish animal, because with his little tiny body they pile so much laundry and so much wood and so many bricks and so many bags of sand on his back, and he's shaking and trembling, and it's not from ecstasy, but it's from agony. He's trembling from the agony of the weight on his back, and then he has to carry so many things for a little bit of grass which is growing everywhere. So this, to have a foolish mentality where you're carrying misconceptions or ignorance, or to remain foolish, to come to the platform of devotion and remain foolish and not attain sambandha gyan, and not learn about the identity of yourself and the identity of Krishna, this is considered to be an obstacle or an artha represented by Dainakasura. He explains ignorance, to continue to remain in ignorance concerning one's spiritual identity or one's relationship with Krishna, or to be ignorant about the non-difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna, and to remain foolish and to lack spiritual enthusiasm and intuition and inspiration. So this is represented by Dainakasura. So Balaram, he kills this demon. In order to perform Braj Bhajan, we have to remove these anarthas or obstacles. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, with a humble heart, we have to try to behave and exist in a very humble state of mind and a humble state of behavior. At the same time, try very diligently through our own efforts to remove these anarthas, to actually study the shastras, and to hear attentively from Guru and advanced Vaishnavas. So this burden of ignorance, we're carrying this burden of ignorance like an ass is carrying a heavy burden on his back. So this burden of ignorance, which is great anartha, keeping us from advancing, will be removed by our own endeavor, by our humble submission, and ultimately by the causeless mercy of Lord Balaram. So he's indicating that these are very powerful demons, and these anarthas and obstacles of lust and greed and ignorance and foolishness, which are represented by Pralamba Sura and Dainakasura, they are killed by Lord Balaram. So Balaram, he has no problem destroying these obstacles. So he acts to do this for the devotee. So this is what it means when we say the Sandini Shakti, or Sandini Shakti, Lord Balaram, he acts to manifest the name, to bring the name into existence, to bring the Dham into existence. So we're chanting syllables. We're chanting syllables. Ha, Re, Krishna, Rama. We're chanting syllable Nam. But are we actually chanting Krishna's name? So in order for us to manifest, for the holy name to actually manifest in our mind and hearts, we need the mercy of Sandini Shakti. Because Sandini Shakti, who is Lord Balaram, will establish the holy name. So that's why we pray to the most merciful form of Lord Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu. Because by His mercy, we can actually chant the holy name without offenses. And then, once the holy name is established, once the holy name is manifested in the heart and actually exists, the real holy name exists in the mind and heart, then Balaram will be very gracious and very glad to start to manifest the form of His beloved. Who is the form of Balaram's beloved? He is the most beloved worshipper of Krishna. And there's nothing more that he wants to do than to give the form, to establish the form of Krishna in the heart of every devotee. He's waiting to do that. He's waiting in his expanded form as Chaitya Guru, as the Paramatma. He's waiting in his form as Shiksha and Diksha Guru. He's waiting in his various forms to establish the existence of Krishna's beautiful Sundariya Rup in our hearts. And then once he establishes the non-difference of Krishna's nama and nami, And then Krishna's form, then he can reveal and establish and manifest all the qualities of Krishna. And then finally he can establish the lotus of Goloka, Raja Gokul, within the core of our hearts. So these are all the actions, the energetic expansions or actions of Lord Balaram, Sandini Shakti. So Balaram, in this way, he's serving the Lord in so many different wonderful ways. And he has so many names. So there's an interesting discussion about Balaram, that Balaram, he of course, he's serving Krishna as a friend and in the mood of a parent, we know this, and also he serves, when Balaram becomes overwhelmed by a desire to render intimate service to his brother, it's described that he becomes overwhelmed by the desire to render Ananga Seva, like the Anga, when he becomes overwhelmed by a desire to serve, to intimately and confidentially serve the personal intimate desires and body, the Anga or Ananga, when he becomes overwhelmed with the desire to render Ananga Seva, then Balaram, his Sandini Shakti, combines with his Ladini Shakti, and he manifests a beautiful form named Ananga Manjari. So he manifests his beautiful form of Ananga Manjari, who is Radharani's younger sister, in order to serve Krishna and Madhurya Ras. So this is, they say, this Ananga Manjari is the manifestation of Balaram's desire. It's the manifested form of his desire to render Ananga Seva. Because Ananga also means Cupid. The word Ananga refers to Kandarpa or Panchasharai, Cupid. Because Ananga means without a body. Ananga, because he lost his body. So in the there's one Shastra explains in the Sri Dharani Shesha Sambad, which was a conversation. Once there was a conversation between Ananta Shesh and Mother Earth, Bhumi Mata. Bhumi Mata is sometimes referred to as Dharani Mata, because she's holding everyone, and she's a nurse. Dharani, she's holding, and she's a nurse. So in this conversation, there, Lord Balaram, in the form of Ananta Shesh, he's speaking some tattva. He's speaking Shakti tattva, and he's describing about Balaram. He's describing something about himself. So he says that I am known as Rama. I am sometimes known as Sankarshan, Balabhadra, Baladev, Balaram, but I'm also known as Ram. So what does this mean? So he's explaining to Mother Dharani, the Mother Earth, this is actually, this word Rama, it describes me when I'm in the full mood of serving the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This word describes me rendering service to the Madhurya Ras or Madhurya Leelas, the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. This is contained in this word Rama. Because if you take the syllable Ra, from the syllable Ra, Srimati Radharani manifests. Radhika, the form of Radhika manifests from the syllable Ra. And Radhika or Radha. And from the syllable Ma, Madhusudana, from that syllable Ma, the form, the transcendental form of Madhusudana manifests. So when someone addresses me as Rama, then immediately that name Rama produces Radha and Krishna, and then I'm there to serve them in my form as Ananga Manjari. So he's giving this explanation of the word Rama. Very interesting. This is in the conversation. And then we were reading in the Garga Samhita something about the birth of Lord Balaram, because today is his birthday. It's the advent of his birthday. So what happened was that he was born, of course you know that Devaki, her seventh pregnancy, she was pregnant carrying a child, who was Lord Balaram, and it appeared that she had a miscarriage. And Yogamaya transferred the child to the womb of Rohini, in Gokul. So Rohini, she was pregnant for 5 days. So in Garga Samhita, when Devaki when she lost her child, everyone in Mathura, they were all disturbed, and they were all crying, and they were all saying, they all said, "Where has the child gone? Where has the child gone?" They were all speaking like this. So then, after 5 days of carrying the child in her womb, Rohini gave birth to Lord Balaram. So Nanda Maharaj, he celebrated the Jata Karma, the samskara, the birth ceremony for Balaram. But he was thinking in his mind, this seems a little unusual. I mean, Rohini Devi, she carried this child. Rohini, of course, is a queen. She is the wife, one of the queens of Vasudeva, and she was taking shelter of Nanda Baba in Gokul. So Nanda Maharaj was thinking, this is very strange that only for 5 days Rohini was carrying the child and gave birth. Anyway, he kept it to himself, and he thought, these are the ways of God. These are the ways of providence. So he's celebrating. So during that birth ceremony, all these great rishis came. Vyasa Muni came, Vasishtha Muni came, Bhaguri Rishi came to bless the child, and of course to honor Lord Balaram. So then Nanda Maharaj, he gave 1,000,000 cows in charity. It's a small donation from his back pocket. You know, no problem, 1,000,000 cows in charity to each of the sages. Here's 1,000,000 for you, 1,000,000 for you. I don't know exactly how they carry them away when they leave, but somehow they put them all in a zip file or something, put the 1,000,000 cows in a zip file and put it in their back pocket and take it to their ashram. So then Vyasa Muni, he did puja of the baby, then he circumambulated Balaram 100 times. He went 100 times around Balaram and paid his dandavats. Ananda Maharaj, he thought, this is an appropriate time to ask a question. He said, "Vyasadeva, I have one question. How is it possible that Rohini, only carrying this child for 5 days, gave birth to this beautiful boy?" He said, "Oh yes, actually, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, this child, of course, was being carried the full term by Devaki. But then Yoga Maya arranged for the transferal of this child to come from Devaki at the last moment, actually at the time of birth, and to appear here in the womb of Devaki. So this is all the arrangement of Yoga Maya, and this child is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't worry, there's no problem." So Nanda Maharaj didn't really understand everything he was saying, all this thing about Supreme Personality of Godhead and all that, because when Vyasadeva was doing his puja of the child, he was chanting all these prayers, "Oh Purushottam, all this, oh Ishvara, Om Parameshvara." And Nanda Maharaj was standing there looking, he said, "It's only little, this thing is like about this big." And he's calling him Purushottam, Parameshvara. And he was thinking, that's a little bit over the top, you know. And it's so much glorification. So this is some little description that I remember from the Garga Samhita. So of course, Balaram, he appeared as the... Oh, the interesting point that I read in one other shastra about the titi of Lord Balaram's birth. We know that Lord Krishna, he appears in the Rohini Nakshatra. Nakshatra means stellar combination or combination, configuration of stars in the universe. Very, very auspicious. So when Lord Balaram appeared in this world, he appeared at noon. And when he appeared, all the demigods, they were, of course, very nicely showering flowers. So many beautiful flowers they were showering, and also a very fine misty rain. They were showering a fine misty rain mixed with the flower petals. Very, very soothing and refreshing, fragrant atmosphere was created at the time of his birth. But Baladev was born, of course, on this titi, on this Purnima, Shravan Purnima. But the particular nakshatra was Swati. Swati nakshatra. Some of you maybe have heard different discussions about Swati nakshatra. The Swati nakshatra is very, very, very auspicious and very, very rare and very, very special. So it's described that whenever there is this appearance in the universe or in the heavens of the Swati nakshatra, and in the ocean, when the oysters, these little kind of creatures over there that go like this. When the oysters, oysters in the ocean, when they swallow water, when they're swallowing water, it's described during that nakshatra, when they swallow water, that water at that nakshatra becomes a pearl. They form a pearl inside their body, begins to form at that nakshatra. And when rain falls on that nakshatra and lands on the hood of a snake, a jewel is formed, is created. A ruby, a diamond, some very costly, very precious and valuable gem is formed. So when Balaram appeared, everywhere, the whole planet, all over the planet was covered, the oceans were filled with pearls. The oceans were filled with pearls, and the land was full of gems and jewels. Because all the snakes, because the rain was falling everywhere, because the demigods were making it rain, so all the snakes were getting these gems. So this is a very opulent, amazing birth. So we were thinking that, and also the other point that is very significant in relationship to the discussion of Braja Tattva is that during the Swati Nakshatra, this is the time when the Chatiki bird is a type of sparrow. He's a very mystical bird. He only drinks water from the cloud when the rain is falling during the Swati Nakshatra. So when it's Swati Nakshatra and the rain is falling, then this Chatiki bird, he so much wants to associate with that cloud. He wants to be with that cloud because that cloud is his source of life, his source of everything. So I was thinking that Balaram, he's appearing, this is our idea, that Balaram's appearing on the Swati Nakshatra. So he is like, Lord Balaram is also like a Chataki bird. But for the male, it's called Chataka. Chataki is a female and Chataka. So Lord Balaram, he is like the Chataka bird. And he always wants to associate with the rain cloud known as Ghanasham. He always wants to associate with that rain cloud known as Ghanasham or Shamsundar. He always wants to be there. And he always wants to drink the nectar that's emanating from that cloud. The clouds, the Chataki bird wants to always be next to and associate with that rain cloud and drink the rain that's coming from it. So Balaram, he always wants to, he's like a Chataka bird, he wants to be next to Krishna at every moment. Next to him, surrounding him, below him, above him, in his bed, everywhere he wants to be. And he wants to drink the nectar that's emanating from Krishna. And what is the nectar that's emanating from Krishna? Sevaras. Sevaras. That is the nectar that's emanating from Krishna. The taste of serving Krishna. It's so tasty that he even becomes a devotee to taste it. He becomes Mahaprabhu to taste the sevaras. So this is the drops of nectar that are falling from the cloud known as Ghanasham. And the Chataka bird known as Balaram, he is always going there and drinking these drops of seva and rendering various services to the lotus feet of Lord Ghanasham, his younger brother, Krishna. So now, of course, we've heard before, but it's also nice to hear again why the Lord Balaram is known as Dauji. He's the elder brother. So Krishnas Kaviraj actually explains here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 5, text 150. It's explaining about how is it that Balaram became the elder brother of Krishna. This is 150 through 153. Ramayara Charitra Sava Dukara Karan Swatantrali Laya Dukha Sahena Lakshman. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman of his own accord tolerated that suffering. So here we're reminded about the Ram Leela in Treta Yuga and how Lakshman, the younger brother of Ramachandra, he tolerated so much because he was submissive and serving the commands and will of his elder brother Ram. Text 151. Nisheda karitanare jatte chut bhai monadari rahi lakshman mani dukkha bhai. So the Chotabai, Lakshman is known as the Chotabai, the younger brother. Mondari, Mon, Mondari means he had to hold silence. He had to keep quiet. Be quiet. Don't speak, younger brother. Lakshman man dukapai. But Lakshman's mind was full of unhappiness. He kept his mouth quiet. His mouth was quiet. His mouth was shut, but his mind was open. And his mind was raging with unhappiness. And he wanted to say so many things, but kept his mouth shut. As a younger brother, he could not stop Ram from his resolution. So he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. Krishna avatari jeshta haila sevara karan Krishna ke karaila nana sukashwadhan. When Krishna appeared, Balaram became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make Krishna enjoy all sorts of happiness. Sarva sukha hoy. So Lakshmana, his desire, because he's a Balaram, and Balaram's ever-present, constantly burning desire is to render pleasing service to Krishna and to make Krishna smile and make Krishna happy. So now he has appeared in Ram Leela and to serve his brother Ram, but Ram has put him in such a situation that he can't serve Ram to his heart's content. That he has to keep a tight lip and close his mouth and watch his brother undergo so much suffering and pain. And it's tearing Balaram apart. Tearing Lakshman apart. So he makes a resolution. He says, never again. I'm going to be the older brother and he's going to listen to me. So when he became in Dwapara Yuga, then he could serve Krishna to his heart's delight and make Krishna just enjoy. Because in Krishna's Leela, he's simply enjoying Leela Purushottam. Make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Nana Sukha Ashwadan. Seva Karan. He be served to his heart's content. That is a wonderful translation Srila Prabhupada has given to the Bengali. Sevara Karana. For the purpose of service. So that's the Seva Karana, the cause of service. So Prabhupada translates that into that Lakshman got as becoming Balaram, he could serve Krishna to his heart's content. See the difference between Gyan and Vigyan. If someone has Bengali Gyan or they have Sanskrit Gyan of Vyakaran and they translate literally and they don't have Bhav, they'll make a very dry translation. But if the person is situated in Prema Bhakti or Bhava Bhakti, as pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, his translations are so relishable and so deep and so expert. So we can appreciate. How is it so? Because Guru is Balaram. Guru is Balaram Tattva. The Guru is also Balaram. That is the expansion of Balaram. So Balaram is glorifying Balaram. Prabhupada is also Balaram Tattva. Because Bhakti, one who is a pure devotee, he is actually blessed. He's actually received the mercy of the Lord. He's received the Sarup Shakti has descended and is, you can say, pervading his thoughts and words and actions and heart and mind. So this Sarup Shakti is a combined form of Ladini Shakti and Samvit, which are, the Samvit is expanded from Balaram and the Ladini is expanded from Radharani. So therefore, Sri Guru, we say Sri Guru. Guru, the heavy aspect, the Guru aspect, that's Balaram. But the Shri, the sweet, beautiful, soft, mellow, merciful, kind, compassionate aspect of Guru is Shri. Shri Guru. So in this particular appellation or phrase to glorify Guru, Shri Guru, you have the combined appearance of Balaram and Radharani. But Balaram and Radharani usually don't get together, but in Tattva they can be together, but in Leela they can't be together. So the Tattva is the Samvit and the Ladini come together. Or you could say that the Ladini is expanding from Balaram and the Samvit is also expanding. Anyway, this is Guru. So Guru, when Guru writes purports, when Guru gives purport, a realized Guru like Srila Prabhupada, those purports and those translations are full of Ladini Shakti and they're full of the Samvit Shakti. So they have the power of Balaram and the power of Anangamandri or Radharani to fill the reader with bliss. and to fill the reader with knowledge, and to establish and to manifest the glories of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord within the mind and heart of the devotee. That's why reading the translations of a realized soul or hearing the speaking of a realized soul is so potent and so powerful, because it is like tivreina bhakti yogena, tivreina bhakti. Tivreina bhakti means that bhakti that is like a laser, because tivreina bhakti is bhakti that is the tivra, or the burning, or the penetrating aspect of bhakti is there depending on the purity of the bhakti. So sarup bhakti or sarup siddha bhakti, this prema bhakti of the pure devotee, is full of this tivreina bhakti to penetrate the hearts. So when we read these translations of Prabhupada and his purports, that's how we get the mercy of Balaram, by associating with his form as a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport. So now he goes on in the next verse. Ram Lakshman Krishna Ramer Amsha Vishesh Avatara Kale Donhe Donhate Pravesh. Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman are plenary portions of Krishna and Balaram. Respectfully entered into them at the time of Krishna and Balaram's appearance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vishnu Dharmottara and Lago Bhagavatamrita, it explains that Ram is the incarnation of Vasudev. Vasudev is the expansion of Krishna. Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarshan. Bharat is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha. Padma Puran describes that Ramachandra is Narayan and Lakshman, and that Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are Narayan's Shesh, Chakra, and Shank. The conch shell in the hand, and the chakra, and the parasol. The parasol, the umbrella above Narayan, is Balaram, or Shesh. In Ram Gita of the Skanda Puran, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna have been described as a triple attendance of Ram. Seyam Shalana Jeshta Kanishtabhiman Amshamshi Rupe Shastre Kareye Vyakyan. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as younger brother and elder brother. But in the scriptures, they are described as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansion. So, this is a nice description of some of the, how Balaram became Dauji, the elder brother, at least according to the historical perspective. In Treta Yuga, he fulfilled his desire to serve his Lord to his heart's content. Well, just a small, one little pastime that when I read it, I got a good, it made me chuckle, so I wanted to tell this one little pastime about Balaram. Because I guess it was too late in the night or something, maybe it won't be funny to you, but it was very funny to me. So in Satya Yuga, there was one king, and he had a very, very beautiful, beautiful daughter. But somehow or other, she was so beautiful, and he was so finicky, the king was so finicky in particular about who the husband would be. He searched all over the universe in Satya Yuga, and he couldn't find anyone suitable to marry his daughter. I guess he was very proud also. He was proud of her beauty, and he didn't see anyone suitable match for his daughter. And the king's name was King Revata, and his daughter's name was Revati. So he was a little bit in anxiety about this because, Satya Yuga, he had a long lifetime, but he had to marry his daughter. So then one day Narada Muni visited him, and he said, "Listen, I can't seem to find any husband for my daughter." So sometimes fathers here in the Kali Yuga, they sometimes have this problem also. They can't find a suitable husband for their daughter, and they're looking in the newspapers and the want ads. So they didn't have newspaper ads in those days, but they had rishis and sages who were even better at matchmaking and predicting the future. So the Narada Muni said, "Listen, King, don't worry about it. Your daughter, she will continue to stay on. She will stay on until Dwapara Yuga. There, and someone will be born in Dwapara Yuga. His name will be Balaram. And Balaram will become the husband of your beautiful daughter. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is a suitable match for your daughter." And the king was very happy. But there is only one problem. Because you see, in Satyuga, not only Satyuga, in the beginning, in Dwapara Yuga, the average height, the average size of men in Dwapara Yuga around the time of Kurukshetra battle was 12 feet. Men were about 12 feet high in Dwapara Yuga at the time of Kurukshetra battle. 12 feet means 2 meters. 2 meters tall. Men were 2 meters tall. And in Satyuga, they were even taller. They were 4 meters tall. Or however, I don't know, it's not told. But obviously in Satyuga, everything was bigger. So Revati, Princess Revati, was a giant. She was like a giant of a princess, literally. She was very, very tall. So, of course, now men in Kali Yuga, they're puny. They're maybe, if they're, you know, the Russians are the biggest ones around, and they're only 2 meters. The Indians are 1.5. 1.5 meters going down. You know, in a few years, they'll be 1 meter tall, and then half a meter, and 10 inches of, you know, midget. So then, okay, so Revati, she stayed on until Dwapara Yuga. And then she was married to Balaram. But Balaram was human size because he was in Naralila, the Naralila of the juncture of Dwapara and Kali. Balaram was about 2 meters tall, a little bit taller than Krishna. Balaram was about 2 meters tall. But his Revati was about 12 feet high. Oh, he was way taller. And this is a no-no. This is not allowed. The woman is not allowed to be taller than the man. Of course, then Kali Yuga, it's all kinds of upside down things, but she has to be down. She has to get, you know, come down. So it's no problem. Balaram, he's Haladar. So, you know, he always has the right weapon for the right cause. So he took his plow, and he just whooped her on, he hooked her on the shoulder. Whoop! I don't know how it felt to Revati, because all of a sudden she was 12 feet, you know, she was 12 feet tall 1 minute, and a second later she was 5 feet 9. So this is one small pastime of the unlimited ocean of Lord Balaram's blissful pastimes to bring happiness to Lord Krishna in this age. So thank you very much for your attention. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Rio!